Savage.
I have a total geeky boner for Dan Savage.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we have returning guest Eric Knight, who talks with us about the Not All Christians movement. Also, he brings us five questions, and actually, most of the podcast, we're just answering those.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick, joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello!
And Nick Glover.
What's up?
And we have a returning guest with us this evening. We have our good friend, Mr. Eric Knight.
Hi!
And he is here to talk with us about as a starting point, we're going to talk about the Not All Christians Project, created
not
by
Not All Like That.
Not yeah. All Like Nalt. That.
Nalt.
Nalt. Nalt. The Not All Like That Project.
Rhymes with salt.
Which Dan
it
Savage
with
created.
N-A, which is the... sodium.
Yeah.
Because science.
Because science. So, Dan Savage created this project basically because when he's talking about GLBT rights...
I'm bisexual.
Often bisexual. Pie.
GLBT.
You put like pie people, in your coochie?
It's like people who like pumpkin and apple pie.
She's attracted to people of 3.14 genders.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Who isn't?
So he creates this project because Christians will walk up to him after... do you want to say something, Eric? Do you have something to add to this conversation?
He didn't actually create the project. He made a video promoting the project.
Promoted this project because a lot of people would walk up to him after talks and say, you know, not all Christians hate gays.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not all like that.
And he said, well, if that's the case, you need to say it out loud.
Yeah, don't just come whispering to me or say it quietly to me after I talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to actually talk to others, and you need to be the ones who... as liberal Christians, get in the faces of other Christians who are conservative, who are bigoted, and say, why the fuck are you doing that? That's not what Christianity is about.
Well, Nick, what did you say? You see it when we watched it?
If you're silent, they will speak for you.
They do
like
speak for you.
If you are not speaking up, other people are representing you.
Yep.
Yeah. So the reason that, I mean, you guys approach me about this is, number one, I've been a huge fan of Dan Savage for a really long time, so I'm very familiar with a lot of the stuff that's gone on with him in following him as first advice columnist and then activist for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But also, even though I'm atheist, I come from a brand of Christianity, let's say, that is very much a not all like that denomination.
Hippie liberal.
Very much.
UCC.
Yeah,
UCC,
United Church of Christ, as I think I mentioned when I was on before and talking about my dad, and he was a minister in the UCC mm-hmm. for all those years. It's the first denomination in the United States that ordained gays and lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very much an accepting, affirming
it's
denomination.
An old church.
Yeah,
take that, Episcopalians.
Exactly.
The UCC is pretty chill.
They really are. Yeah. Without being just sort of out there in the believe whatever you want to believe noosphere, so to speak. So.
Not Unitarians, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not Unitarians, for Christ's sake.
Exactly.
That's funny because.
Yeah. So, but yeah. And
hung like this.
Yeah.
Right. Call back to last week's show. Oh, yeah.
And for me, the one specific thing I can say in the context of this is that even though I no longer believe in Christianity, I feel very firmly grounded in a lot of the values that my parents instilled in me
mm-hmm.
of treating people with respect and the way they'd want to be treated and all of that. And so
stone
when
whores.
Right and
no mixed fibers.
Yeah, exactly. And so and because of that, I do still kind of have a part of me that gets kind of that defensive, hey,
mm-hmm.
not all Christians are like this. Because I know a lot of them and I have family members who are.
Yeah.
When somebody does kind of just sort of badmouth or trash Christians as all being evil, bad, or only doing bad things with their mm-hmm. church or Christianity,
mm-hmm.
because I know firsthand that's not the case.
Yeah, I know that when I'm writing about issues I have with behaviors by Christians, I try to be really careful to identify, because, you know, obviously I still think they're wrong.
Right.
You know, I still think that Christians are wrong about the basic idea of their faith. But at the same time, there are plenty of Christians out there who aren't using their faith to attack other people, who don't believe that their faith should be driving laws that affect me. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. You know, if you want to believe something that I don't agree with, that's totally cool, as long as you aren't trying to affect my life with it. And so, you know, certainly I think when it comes to GLBT rights, that voice, there are Christians that aren't using that voice.
So here's a thought. The not all like that, NALT, you know, they're not all like that. It's very similar to a hashtag that was going around that was villainized, which is not all men.
Yes.
And that is, no, I mean, I'm being very serious.
Yeah, it's very similar.
And when there were men saying hateful, horrifying shit to women and about women and, you know, doing rape threats, and there was this hashtag, like, not all men, we're not all like that. And it was immediately villainized and turned into a, like, how dare you speak about this, like, and things for most people. I mean, I don't think I ever saw anyone use that hashtag either non-ironically or who didn't get, like, thrown to the wolves by rabid internet commenters. Yeah. So I would love to explore why there's a difference. Why is there a difference that this is more accepted? And I mean, even among us, like, we're all right away, we were like, that's a great idea. But when you hear not
even
all
our 50% of the population.
Okay, and GLBT is more like 10.
Yeah, that's one reason.
But also, I mean, when I saw people, the intent of not all men was more this, like, defensive, whiny thing.
Sometimes. I have family members and friends who, you know, have been saying, like, but not all men. Like, I'm not like that. I'm a man, and I'm not like that, and I want to speak up and not let these guys speak for me and say, I've never made a rape threat in my life, and I hate that you guys are making it about men make rape threats,
right.
Men rape.
And
you know?
I think there the issue is that you don't need to say, I mean, I think even with the not all Christians, it's like, because there you've got Christians who are speaking up and saying that gays and lesbians are going to go to hell and they're awful people. Mm-hmm. And you need to have Christians saying, you know what? That's not what Christianity says.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, when you're dealing with men saying not all men, to me it feels more like them saying, don't attack me. I can't help that I'm a man. And what you really need to just say is, you know what? Rape is wrong. You don't need to say, talk about how when you say not all men, oh, I'm not like that. I don't rape. All you need to say is,
I'm not like that. I don't hate gays.
But if you're a Christian, I don't even think you should be saying, I'm not like that. I don't hate gays. It should be, being gay is okay. There's nothing in the Bible that says
okay,
gay is wrong.
Okay, so we do have a problem with NALT then. We do have a problem with these not all like that videos because they're whiny or whatever.
There's a comic I read that summed up the not all men really well. It was like this fake superhero, not all man, who's, you know, he sees the not all man signal and he says, ah, this misandrist is no match for not all man, defender of the defended, the lone protector of the protected, voice of the voiceful. And there's this woman who says, I'm just sick of how men, and he crashes through the window in front of her and says, may I play devil's advocate? And the not all men thing is, someone's making a valid point and saying, hey, women feel this way. Hey, this is something that women have to endure or have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's saying, well, but not all men are like that. It's like, it's the argument is, hey, dude, we weren't talking about men.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about something that women have to deal with that is sometimes a behavior of some men. No one is saying all men.
Okay.
It's hijacking the conversation.
It's a topic change.
Well, so now I'm at a Dan Savage talk, and he's there to talk about gay rights and his life and things like that and the It Gets Better project. And then someone, which is the inspiration for all this, comes up and says, I want to make sure you know not all Christians. Now, how is it not the same to be like, we weren't talking about Christians, we were talking about gay rights. Why are you making this about you? It doesn't matter that not all Christians. I mean, my point that some Christians do stands.
At that point, it's true, it's very similar, but I guess it's the direction in which they're taking that behavior. Dan Savage is saying, great, not all Christians, go do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the internet, what happened with not all men was, well, that's not helpful, asshole. I'm going to make fun of you.
Okay.
And so it's maybe if not all men had been sort of a, like, rallying cry to make men champion a good cause instead of just, like, the devil's advocate argument of a MRA guy.
Sure.
Which is really saying, you know, it's not me. And the other thing I think that's about it is not all men is not supporting the argument that they're talking about. It's countering it in your own sort of way, as opposed to
all Christians, which counters it in the exact same way.
I had an argument and I dropped it. Let's see if I can remember what
it's really. It is really hard to parse out. There is something that just. I can't define it, but there is something that feels different about the tone of it.
So my thought for why, and I had a thought for why, I wanted to see if we would get there, is that it is about the group that it is representing. So the not all men is representing the power structure. Yes, right? Men, sure, power. Sure. Not all Christians, the power structure. That's why they are very analogous in that sense, that it's the dominant, you know, whatever. The group that they are being supported is much different in terms of a minority. Women are a majority minority in that there's more of us, but we're still considered a minority class or whatever because
protected class
whatever. Yeah. But with gays, lesbians, but you know, GLBT, it's much, much smaller, much, much less. Everyone knows a woman. Everyone knows a woman. There are, and I would argue that most people probably know someone who's GLBT, but maybe not. There's probably lots of people in the world who don't know anyone for real, legit.
Who are unaware that they know.
Or closeted otherwise. I mean, right. I've had friends. Sure. I met a girl who, when she was 18, had literally never laid eyes on anyone who was black because she lived in rural Wisconsin. Mm. I mean, it wasn't a thing. Just the way she, it was just her life.
Yeah.
So
exposure.
I feel like the not all men thing was more ripe for irony and anger and shittiness because it was two large groups battling over large issues as opposed to, like, you know.
So how about this, though? And so in the case of Christianity, there is a difference of Christianity versus men in that Christianity is, by and large, specifically organized groups and subsets
and
of Christians.
And a choice.
Mm-hmm. And those, there are very specific parts of those subsets that by their organization and by their organized actions as a group condemn gays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in a weird way, the you know, men just as a whole, now there's starting to be the not all. I mean, the whole men's right advocate thing is so much more recent and not as structured. It's just mostly, you know, random fucks on the internet.
Right.
So
that's
well,
true.
And he's,
there's
and
no
he's,
creed. There's no
well, yeah.
book that they follow. There's no established rules. It's just independent assholes.
And another good thing I just kind of came to this thought is, so another difference and a way to compare them is, so you can't choose to be born a man. But you choose to be a Christian, all right? Mm-hmm. You can't choose to be gay or other, but you can, but you choose to rape. So we're looking at a group and threaten and abuse. So
right.
it's a thing you can't choose, like, and about a thing that you can choose versus a thing you can choose and a thing that you can't. And I think that might be one of the reasons that one, because it's like, why are, like, okay, yeah, I get it. You couldn't help but be born a man, but you don't have to rape anyone. Why are we even discussing this? Why is there ever a devil's advocate for rape? Versus, you don't have to be a Christian if the book says that gays are wrong. There's plenty of people choosing otherwise. Mm-hmm. They don't get to choose. They are gay. Like it's and maybe that's where it.
Another and I, to try and reparse what I said earlier. To me, what part of it is. When you're talking not all Christians, you're talking about two people with a shared experience of, we are all Christians.
Mm-hmm.
These Christians are saying these awful things.
Mm-hmm.
We think the awful things they're saying are awful, and we need to speak up. When you're talking the not all men, you've got two different groups. You've got women talking about women's issues and men talking about men's issues, trying to insert their issues into what
it's
the women
the
are talking about.
It's not the same topic of conversation.
Well, exactly.
Except
I think,
those women's issues are as relate to men.
Well,
in that specific conversation, and everyone I saw, it was about men's behavior toward women, which is not a men's issue as well. That's where it gets muddied.
Yeah, but I still think that I still think it's a very different thing when women are saying, we have an issue with what certain men are doing, and men going, well, you know, as a man, I don't want to...
But it's I don't think that's very different than someone who's gay saying, hey, I'm not welcome at this church because of these Christians' behavior, and someone saying, well, not all Christians.
You can come to my church.
You can come to my church. We're not all like that. I think it's more similar than dissimilar.
There is an affirming tone to a not all like that Christian saying, we're not all like that. Whereas the men saying, not all men.
It's not taking responsibility.
It's defensive.
I really think a lot of it, though. Well, they're both defensive.
Yeah, they are.
My main point of this is I really think a lot of it comes with the way that something is perceived and how quickly public opinion can change the coloring of that. They are literally the same phrase. They are the same fucking phrase. But we hear not all men, and we are automatically, all of us in this room are assigning things to it, like whiny, defensive, like not affirming. Well, not all men could be affirming, to be like, hey, you don't have to be afraid when you're with me.
Sure.
Well, because I will never do anything to harm you. You never, like, not all men are like that. If you're at my house at a party, you can fall asleep on the couch. I want you to know that. You'll never get raped at my house.
It goes to that Louis C.K. bit about, you know,
dates
and you know, hey, where are we going to your death statistically? It's just like, you know, men are the biggest threat to women,
and Christians are some of the biggest threats to gay rights.
What I want to say is religious. What I think just about the not all Christians, and honestly, America. If the not all men thing had gone a different direction than it did, it wouldn't bother me so much, because here's the thing. Both of them are starting from a whiny point of view. When you walk up to Dan Savage at the end of a talk and you go, you know what, not all Christians are like that, and you're hurting my feelings when you're saying that. And what Dan is saying and what the Not All Christians Project is saying is, stop saying that to somebody under your breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And start saying out loud, not all Christians are like that, but this is what Christians should be like. Yeah. And I support GLBT rights.
I think more specifically, those assholes don't represent me.
And I saw a lot of men doing that on Facebook and such, and getting shot down with, no one is talking about you. For real, I literally saw someone we all know post about his opinion on the rights thing, and get someone else we all know being like, no one's talking about you. How dare you take this away from us?
And his response was, I'm talking about this. This is my post.
My speaking up to say
I'm
not
posting about my experience.
And I don't know.
You coming here and telling me to shut up is basically what you're accusing me of.
And I don't agree with that. Most of the stuff that I saw on Twitter with the Not All Men hashtag was guys basically whining and going, you know what? It's not me. I'm a nice
Twitter's
guy.
Twitter's a toilet. Click trending topics sometime and see what most of the posts are. It's horrifying.
That's the difference between that hashtag and, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with guys saying, you know what? I don't believe that men behave this way, and I'm not going to behave this way.
And you don't need to worry about it. I'm going to speak up and say that.
And that's affirming, and that is speaking up and advocating for a position, as opposed to just, and I think, again, with the Christians who came up to Dan Savage, and again, with a lot of the guys who are doing the Not All Men thing, is it's really just a whiny thing of, well, I don't want this to be about me.
Well, and it's really easy, I think, for when things go viral, for everyone to get their pitchforks and to be like, these people who believe this thing is now poisoning the well. I mean, it's a logical fallacy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happens a lot, I think. And that's one of the reasons that when we were watching this video, and I just thought, God, that's so similar. And, you know, I'm glad that we were, I love talking about this kind of stuff, because I think that in the wake of social media and things going viral and these sorts of social justice campaigns going viral, that we really have to be very careful. It's a big weapon that we wield.
I think we talked about it a few weeks back when we were talking about the, like, atheist leaders. And there's even within atheism the idea of not all atheists. You know, not all.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Richard Dawkins does not speak for all of us.
You did an episode about,
he doesn't speak for me. Yeah.
Well, and just in general, the
asshole
atheists.
I just want to. Here's an example of a trending NULT tweet.
NULT tweet. Okay.
NULT tweet. As an ally, hashtag NULT, follower of Christ, I love and support and affirm my LGBTQ brothers and sisters. And then they posted, like, a nice little picture. Now I'm going to find a not all men.
Are you just going to find one?
I'm just going to, like, a trending one, like a one towards the top.
Yeah, but by now, hasn't that hashtag been pretty seriously poisoned?
That's hard kind to of say. That's kind of the thing. It's,
so okay, here's an example, just a trending one again. When you say hashtag not all men or hashtag not all white people, you're really saying not me, but it's not about you.
Interesting.
And that's I think if you when you're just walking up to Dan Savage and saying not mm-hmm. all Christians are like that, mm-hmm. you really are saying it's about me.
Yeah.
But well, I'm not that way.
At Fat Neckbeard Guy, which is not my sock puppet account, says instead of hashtag not all men, maybe say generalizations are a useful tool for thought and all of us understand that they're not literal truth.
Again, I really think it's all about the marketing. I mean, really, if it wasn't Dan Savage supporting it, if instead it was Pat Robertson, denying it and saying, you go and you use this hashtag and you tell them, the real truth about it. Like, I am going to heaven, unlike people that blah, 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 not all, we're not all, not Christians whatever.
But I think that also would have such a radically different tone in many other ways.
I think also if not all men had been approached a different way, if it was approached more like the NALT thing that Dan Savage is talking about, with men talking about affirming women's rights.
I'm going to have to get on some Know Your Meme shit and see what the first instance of that hashtag
is. Of not all men?
Because I'm interested to see if it started that way and got taken over.
I just looked at it actually. The first big instance of it on Twitter was the Kool-Aid man busting through a wall and saying hashtag not all men. Like, that was one of the very first instances of it used as a meme.
Must have come from somewhere before. Yeah, as a meme. I don't mean as a meme. Yeah, I mean, who's used it first? Well,
okay, so do you guys know about hashtag all lives matter? Black lives matter?
Yeah.
How is yes, all men, not all men, versus all lives matter? Someone on Twitter, as I was flipping through these trending ones, someone said, it's funny to me that some of the white women who were really, really angry about hashtag not all men are now the ones tweeting hashtag all lives matter. We're saying, why should our message be that black lives matter? Why can't it be that all lives matter? Why does it have to be all lives? We're talking about all lives. We're talking about black lives.
Black lives
now
are included in all lives. That's what they're saying.
So then hashtag not all men, Molly, because not all men are like that.
Yeah.
Why can't we talk about some of the good guys out there who aren't raping people?
And all of these intricacies and weird, strong feelings and emotions and fucking semantics and everything is why, people like my brother are look like assholes on the internet, because they don't understand how to navigate these complicated bullshit social mazes where it's like this one thing you can't say this but you can say that, even though they're the same thing. I can't explain to you why they're different. They're different in feeling, and that's really tough for a lot of people to navigate.
They're different in feeling is a great summary for the entire thing we've been trying to figure out of the difference between not all men and
they're
not
different
all
in feeling.
Christians.
I don't know why. Yeah.
Holy fuck, we
could
keep going on this for a long time.
No, I could.
But I think to me, with all of this, the really important thing is, if you're trying to affirm, GLBT, if you're trying to affirm women, anything like that, I think the basic idea that you have to speak up is one of those big things. Mm-hmm. If you sit there and you whisper at a coffee table, it's not going to make a difference. And I think to me, it's always like, if I want to affirm the idea that men shouldn't rape women, what I need to do is teach my kids not to rape women.
True.
Because I have two boys, and I want them to understand that that's not okay. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that I, as a parent, will forgive if they do.
Yeah.
That crosses a line that you can't uncross.
You'll lock him in a fiery basement for eternity.
I will. I'll lock him in a fiery
basement.
Parent would do that?
We're not all like that, you guys.
Unless they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, then all is forgiven.
Hashtag not all gods.
Hashtag not all geeks. Hashtag not all gods.
Yeah, right.
So, holy shit. We could talk for, I'm imagining, at least 5 more hours about this, but it is time to get to 5 questions. Eric, you are a former guest on our podcast, and that means...
questions.
What does this say?
That was weird.
It's our new
do
effects.
They do that?
Well, they I don't do, know. They I never get that far in their podcast, to be really honest.
You know,
Fast Five must happen in the second hour of it.
Here's my alcohol.
All right, I think Eric, it's the third hour.
as a second time guest, you get to ask us five questions. Do you have your five questions prepared?
I do.
Wow, I'm shocked and appalled. I mean, not
it's
shocked,
as if you warned me.
Not even appalled.
No, I'm not appalled.
So, question number one.
Question number one. Name a film that is popular with geeks, which you strongly dislike and or think is overrated.
Ooh, you're just asking that so you can talk about Labyrinth.
That's one of the few I could choose from easily, but, you know.
I know what I can talk about, and this is going to make me unpopular in some circles, but...
Let's go for it.
Dark Crystal.
Really?
I think Dark Crystal is an absolutely beautiful film with an idiotic story that if... If the movie was a silent film, I would probably love it. If there was no dialogue, but the dialogue is so dumb, it feels like a kind of a hackneyed knockoff of Lord of the Rings. I don't understand how the main, like, godlike beings can be split, and when they're split, there's a good half and an evil half, but when they recombine, they're still pretty much good.
Yeah.
Balanced, which is better.
Good, or something. And I don't know.
Once they ripped off from Star Trek, you know, Enemy Within.
Anyway, it's super popular, and I love the character design of a lot of the things in that movie, but the film itself, I think they need to stop talking a lot more.
Yeah.
Do you have one, Molly?
You can go ahead if you have one. The only thing I could think of is, like, because I like a lot. I like almost everything. I mean, there's very little that I'm just like, ugh. Especially geeky stuff. Uh-huh. I mean, like, I don't want to pick this one, but I would say, like the first Star Wars movie I'm just okay on. Like, it's good, but it's so much setup. And, like, the next two I think are better. So, like, it's a little... But I would say...
So you like Return of the Jedi better than... Star Wars?
I don't know. I like them about the same. I watched them so much. So when I was a kid, they were always super boring to me because they were on TV with commercials, and it's just not the way they're meant to be watched, and it was just boring. Like, sure. I don't know. But I really like them now as an adult, so I don't want to pick that. I guess I have a lot of movie geek friends, and I don't like old movies, so...
You generally don't like classic
movies. I generally just don't like classic black and white like movies from around then, so... I would go with like Miracle on 34th Street or something like that. Like, blech. Like, I just, yeah.
Oh, but Natalie Wood's so adorable.
I think there's maybe like half of every Miyazaki movie. not half of each individual movie, but half of his catalog. I would say I loved Howl's Moving Castle. I liked Nausicaa. I saw that way back in the day. I liked Spirited Away. Because of like the fairy tale nature of it,
yeah.
But like a lot of the other movies, I really don't like. What was the most recent water one?
Oh, the one.
It's just a short name. Ponyo. Ponyo's fucking terrible.
I did not care for Ponyo.
And I think I saw it without you, digitally.
He actually the one he released last year, and I'm trying to remember the name of
it. The World War II, plane guy one.
That one I thought was really kind of plotting and dull.
It's right.
A lot of people did.
And things can be like pretty. And be done by someone who's talented and just still be terrible.
Yeah.
Just because it's Miyazaki doesn't make it a good movie.
Yeah. The animation, of course, is always gorgeous. But yeah, the storytelling in that one.
It can be well-crafted shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I have, as I joked for years, there's this trio of bad 80s geek one-word...
L movies.
L movies. Labyrinth, Lady Hawk, and Legend. And... I'm just not a fan of any of them.
Really?
I totally agree with you with Legend, because I think it's boring as shit.
What?
Yeah. I think
Legend's amazing.
Lady Hawk's terrible. I mean, Tim Curry's great in it.
Lady Hawk is pretty...
But Lady Hawk's great.
Legend is like magic if it was on screen.
Yeah, I don't think Labyrinth is terrible. It's the strongest of those three, but I still think it's just sort of so-so.
See, I think,
David Bowie's potato.
Yeah.
Lady Hawk, I think, I like it.
I've never seen it.
I like Matthew Broderick in it. I think Lady Hawk would be about 100 times better if you took away the Alan Parsons soundtrack and replaced it with an orchestral soundtrack. I think the 80s synth track makes
it... It's really bad.
I've never seen it.
Well, the synth track is so completely at odds with the tone of the movie that it's hard to get past it.
Because it's sort of a pseudo-medieval setting...
It's right? this medieval setting with this 80s synthesizer music.
Yeah, it's like if they had bad 80s music over Game of Thrones, you know, or something like that.
That could ruin it.
Yeah.
So. Well, I mean, there are other reasons I think it was bad, but, you know. And I'm actually also not a fan of Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, hang on.
I haven't seen it.
So.
Have you watched it with the Pinky Carruthers info track? No. One of the subtitle tracks is Pinky Carruthers, who is a member of the Buckaroo Banzai Brigade. Doing fun facts about the movie as if it were a documentary about things that actually happened.
Okay.
And the it's a fucking hilarious subtitle track. I mean, it's like pop-up video.
Yeah, but that movie that wouldn't make the movie better.
It does make the movie better.
Well, I mean, but the original anyway.
Yeah.
I would guess that it would make the movie a lot better if you already liked the movie and would
probably
not do much for you if you already dislike it.
It wouldn't do much for you if you have horrible taste.
I'm kind of lukewarm on Buckaroo Banzai. I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
Jeff Goldblum as he's the Jewish cowboy surgeon. Come on, man.
All right. Question number two.
All right. Name a character that you especially love to hate, or it can be like a super fun villain character that you love to hate, sort of like in the classic J.R. Dallas thing, or a character that you actually hate so much that it's become like almost like a running joke or a meme that you know, it's like you embrace how much you hate that character.
Cersei Lannister.
She's
there's very few characters in Game of Thrones who once they get a POV chapter you don't sympathize with them on some like level or another, but very, very consistently throughout every book that's out so far, the more you find out about her, the more you despise and dislike her. She's really unredeemable, and she's been bad her entire life.
Yeah, she's boring.
There's nothing redeeming about Cersei Lannister. I really enjoy hating her. She's a great bad character. Even like Melisandre and shit like that. Like you come around on some of those people. Jaime in the first book, he's the biggest villain ever. In the second book, you love the guy. Jaime. Anyway, so yeah, Cersei Lannister is my pick.
Good, good answer.
Yeah.
And I had an answer and I lost it. Do you have yours yet, Molly? Because I got to try and get my answers.
Go. I will say I love to hate the Hulk. Because he's boring, but I love him, but I hate him. I don't know. He's such a fucking Deus Ex Machina half the time. Yeah. Because it's like, ooh, like he can smash anything. And I don't know. Like,
he's the strongest.
Yeah. And like, it's kind of same with the Thing. It's like, I love to hate him in the sense that it's like, they're usually like, just to me, the least interesting character, but they need to be there. Someone needs to be the least interesting character, and I wish it wasn't always the big, dumb, strong guy that they do, but, like, there it is, and it's, I don't know, so that's the best it can come up with on short notice. Yeah. I'll have to think about it while Tim talks.
Yeah, I guess I've had trouble, but I'm gonna say Hans Gruber from Die Hard. He's such a fucking awesome bad guy. Just, I mean, it's partially it's because
it's a Snape, right? It's
yeah. So, and he's just, I mean, the line about, you know, I'm an exceptional thief, and since I've raised myself to kidnapping, you should be more polite. There's something about the way that he relishes being a jackass that's entertaining. And I love to hate him for a couple of reasons. One, because I love him in that movie, and two, because movie villains for the next 20 fucking years were all modeled after that fucking character.
How do you feel about the same actor as the Sheriff of Nottingham, where he himself played a similar villainous character a bit?
And
that was after Die Hard?
That's Alan Rickman. That movie is so fucking terrible on so many levels.
It's really
but
bad.
One of the levels on which it's terrible is let's just have Alan Rickman play Hans Gruber
as the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Because, I mean, he's doing kind of the same thing of trying to gain power and trying to steal a whole shit ton of
money. He's a little
more
sexually sleazy.
Yeah. But other than that, well, you don't know that Hans Gruber isn't sexually sleazy. It's just he doesn't have time for that
he's
right now.
He's too classy to do that shit. He's a businessman.
Yeah.
Katniss Everdeen.
Really?
I love to hate her because she's annoying and whiny and like, but she's awesome. She's very skilled and she's a badass chick. Mm-hmm. But I just can't stand listening to her inner monologue. And she's cool and I love her. That's more of like the second thing you meant.
Like
you genuinely do love the character, but you have to hate parts because there's
I honestly didn't even have a very good answer for this one. I mean, a character that just because...
Well, why did you even ask the fucking question? Jesus.
He shouldn't be asking the questions with his own answers in mind. I hate when people do that. Like, you should be asking the questions because you want our answers.
I kind of like to... I don't know.
But I like to hear his answer.
It's fun to have, though.
What's your answer? I know. I'm just saying, don't write it because you're like, I've got a good one for
you. No, no, no. Oh, no, no. That's what I meant. Yeah, yeah,
it's okay
if
he doesn't have a good answer.
No, but this is the one that I had the hardest time with and didn't really even have something firm when I showed up tonight. But in, I think it's the third season of Buffy, the love interest, I think his name was Riley, and he was just so...
Soldier Boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a crappy character. Yeah. I just like...
He's bland.
He was so bland and just such a... Just a lame character.
Yeah.
And I felt that the actor was also... I think it was more that they badly wrote him than the actor. He would have been so-so with better material.
Of all her love interests throughout the series, he is the least interesting, but also, like, clearly the safe choice that's a bad choice.
Right.
That's why they don't work out, is because he's like, well, other shit too, but he's the safe guy.
She can't have a normal life. She's a vampire slayer.
Right. Yeah.
Goddamn right.
So,
question number three.
All right. What is a hobby that you used to be really into, but you're not so much anymore? For whatever reason. Anything you can think of?
I used to paint miniature figures. I don't know if I was that great at it, but I did actually. I was into that for a long time, and then I just stopped, you know, because I didn't really do anything with them but paint them. We didn't really do any miniature playing. We got out of, when we had kids, we really haven't done much role playing since we had kids.
Except in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah. So I got out of that. That's the thing that I used to do that I don't do anymore. I have shit tons of unpainted miniature figures that I probably will never touch again.
I played piano for 10 years.
Ooh.
Like, I got really good. I was Chuck Suzuki, so I played from when I was 5 till I was 15. And I could sight read music, too. And I would teach myself songs. I played Desperado. I would play and sing all the time, like Desperado. And I can play chopsticks with both hands, like accompany myself, like and everything, and Heart and Soul and all that still. But I just, for me, it wasn't so much that I just stopped. I was in high school and I was doing... it may surprise you to learn I was a way overachieving, stressed little ball in high school, and I got an ulcer when I was 15.
Wow.
Because I was doing so many things. I had so many extracurriculars and classes, and I was just a worrisome little kid anyway. And so one of the things I realized, and I was like, I gotta drop something. And piano was the thing that I wasn't in love with anymore. Out of everything else. And, you know, I kept choir and I dropped piano, and, you know, it was, I don't regret it, I guess. I could take lessons again and pick it up pretty easily, I think, so.
Sure.
I used to be a pretty hardcore PC gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-console gaming,
I'm
even, really.
Like that.
I would say, if such phrases had been around 10 years ago, or maybe like 15 years ago, I probably would have been one of those PC Master Race guys online these days, calling console gamers plebes and telling them not to touch me and stuff like that. Like, it's all done jokingly, but
still, yeah.
I mean, I used to upgrade my graphics card like 4 times a year, maybe like twice a year. And I used to, still to this day, there's a couple sticking points where people talk about that fucking Bond game that came out for GoldenEye for N64.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk about Halo. And both those games are bullshit, because I was console gaming when those games came out, and neither of them did anything original except bring some of a little bit of what's already existed on PC gaming to a console market. That's what's original about Halo?
So everybody was
not a fucking thing.
So everybody was losing their shit about how amazing they were, and you're just like,
I've been doing
We've
this
had
for
this
5 years.
Shit for years and years.
Okay.
Like, and you know, like, yeah, like. But that's the thing. Controllers will never be as good as a mouse and keyboard for first-person shooters, ever. It's true.
First-person shooters.
Xbox 360, Shadowrun for first-person shooter came out, and for the first time ever, they said, people can use consoles and people can use PCs, and you can game against each other. The KD, kill-death ratio spreads were so disparate, and console gamers were so loud, that they ended up separating the systems,
mm-hmm.
because anyone with a thumbsticks could never compete with someone with a mouse. You'll never get the same level of precision. That's why Microsoft and Sony will never come out with an official product that lets you use a mouse and a keyboard or something similar on their consoles. Hmm. Ever. It'll never happen. They are superior. They are better.
You heard it here, folks. Mark the day.
Right. But I don't have time for all that shit anymore. I don't have time to and money to sink into keeping a desktop up and running. I barely even touch my laptop anymore.
Plus, they made it more social.
I play exclusively on Xbox One.
And now they've made it super social. And that's where my friends are. You can have LAN parties now without leaving your house.
Yeah. And all that
it's
stuff.
That's all it is now. That's all Xbox Live is a LAN party.
I mean, I used to have a water cooled. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Chris, number four.
Well, I was going to say real quick.
Yeah, he gets to answer.
Okay. That's allowed.
Fucking answer.
I haven't lost interest in classic movies, but I'm so busy and I watch so little at all that I've just... Because I've got a lot of classic movie posters I used to watch really regularly. My two ex-roommates and I used to do weekly, you know, classic movie night where we'd rent three or four movies. Yeah, and I know, it's your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
We would not be friends.
Yeah. but I still enjoy the occasional classic movie when I, you know, the right thing pops up, but I'm just, like, I'm so behind on recent shit.
Yeah.
I just don't have time.
Yeah.
To devote that I used to. So I haven't really, you know, watched them with any regularity in forever.
I have another answer.
Yeah?
Cocaine.
It's funny because it's true.
Question number four.
Number four. What is your favorite vegetable? And what is your favorite preparation of a vegetable?
Okay. I can go artichoke. I fucking love artichokes.
Mm.
And I my favorite preparation is steamed, and you peel them off and you eat them leaf by leaf.
Mm-hmm. Dipping them in
I don't know if there's another way to eat them.
You know, you a butter garlic sauce is really good with a little bit of lemon, I think is really tasty. Although I think they're delicious just without anything on them at all. Just steamed and eat them fresh.
Okay.
So that's my pick, artichoke.
Okay.
All right, so I don't think mushrooms count as vegetables because they're technically fungi. So I'm going to say...
That's why I didn't pick mushrooms, but...
P.S. I fucking love mushrooms. Okay, but I will say for vegetable, I'm going to say it's a toss-up between zucchini and asparagus for me.
And not avocados?
Not well, they're technically fruits, but not avocados. Right, not avocados, no.
Yeah.
I can get sick of avocados. I've never gotten sick of asparagus a day in my life. Same with zucchini. I like them raw. I like them cooked. But my favorite thing for both, actually... is both either reasonably sliced zucchini or whole asparagus, put it in a pan with heat up olive oil, put it in a pan and saute the ever loving shit out of it. Like don't cover it, just leave it there. The asparagus turns bright green and then you're going to dump in like a tablespoon of garlic, minced garlic. And then I know, right? And then like a whole lemon basically, and mix it together and then feta cheese to serve. Like,
ooh, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. I'd eat that. Mm-hmm. I'd eat that.
But also if you don't want to do the cheese, just garlic, olive oil, salt and pepper and lemon.
Awesome.
And just cook it until the asparagus should be bright green, the zucchini should have a nice like crispy kind of look on the sides of it, and that's how you know.
Nice. All right.
I think my favorite preparation of a vegetable isn't necessarily my favorite vegetable. My favorite preparation of a vegetable is this thing that my mom usually makes for Thanksgiving that Molly's been making lately, actually, like a paleo version. And that's cauliflower.
Horseradish cauliflower au gratin.
Yes. And so it's what kind of cheese is it?
It's Fontina cheese.
Fontina cheese.
Horseradish and heavy cream. And breadcrumbs and a little bit of Dijon mustard, and you bake it.
That sounds fucking
it's
awesome.
It's really, really great.
Good.
It does sound really
I think,
good.
Oh, and nutmeg. There's nutmeg in it.
Yeah, a little bit of nutmeg.
Really
why would that be a bad thing?
I know. It gives it this really cool, like, Thanksgiving flavor.
It's a good Thanksgiving.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's good cold the next day. Like, even the cauliflower gets a little crunch back to it.
I want to eat some of that now.
It's dynamite.
We'll post the recipe.
Yeah. And then, but I think my favorite vegetable is like related, and I think broccoli is good because steamed broccoli with butter and salt is amazing.
Yeah,
like you don't need to do anything else to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also good cold and plain, dipped into things, or just even
it's great.
Plain. It's fairly good.
It's great in a stir fry.
It's good in stir fry. Yeah. It's good in like broccoli cheese soup. Like, broccoli never makes anything worse, and it's good in pretty much every form it comes in.
I think because of the flour, the broccoli, it's like whatever sauce, right? Like, in broccoli cheddar soup, it like grabs
like the way
soup.
Rice does.
Yeah.
But we don't eat rice.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
It's a flavor sopper-upper.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm glad you made the choice, because I asked it the way I did intentionally, because I love onion. I love it. In almost any form, I make a sandwich to bring to work almost every day, and I love putting just a little bit of sliced raw onion on it. Gross. And I love it in stir fries or all sorts of different stuff on pizza. But my favorite preparation of a vegetable is roasted Brussels sprouts.
Oh, I love roasted Brussels sprouts.
I love them.
Olive oil, soy sauce, hot sauce, garlic, and fresh ginger. Grated fresh ginger.
Yep.
And I mix all that up and then toss them in it, and it's so good.
Molly gets shredded.
I get shredded. They're just like shredded Brussels sprouts at the Kowalski's. And so they're like really? Shredded up.
Like a pound or two of them.
So when I make meatloaf, the meat I use usually ends up giving off a whole lot of fat. So I end up draining it off the meatloaf as it cooks. And then I save that and I cook with it. So what I'll do is take the roasted Brussels sprouts and just like a cup of that meat juice, and dump it in, mix it all up, and bake it until it's like crispy brown on the edges. Nice. And it's super good.
Ooh. I need that too.
Yeah.
That's really good.
All right, final question.
Okay. Describe one of your favorite comedy lines or bits regarding atheism or skepticism about religion. This can be from stand-up, TV, movie, whatever. I know this might take a little digging. I can go first if you guys need to think.
Go first.
Okay, so around the mid-80s, I want to say 86 or so, Bob Goldthwait had a comedy special on HBO, and in it he mentioned, you know, the idea of a wrathful God and all of that. And wording, but it was kind of the gist of, like, I don't get that. I don't get that whole punishing thing, like, you know... I want God to be like Ward Cleaver, you know, being like, oh, come here, you fucked up. You're basically good, you know, that kind of thing.
I like that.
The first thing that comes to mind is a friend of the show, Joseph Scrimshaw, did this thing about different religions making porn films. The one I remember, and I was backstage getting ready for a show that I was going to do right after him. And I remember he was like, the only thing about atheist porn films is everybody agrees there's no director.
There's two that come to mind that are both George Carlin. There's the wet paint thing. He's like, I can't remember it exactly, but he's like, yeah, you tell people there's an invisible man that lives in the sky that controls everything, and they believe it right away. But you tell someone that paint is wet, and they got to touch it. But he's got a longer one that I just pulled up real quick that's... He says, religion is easily the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And that invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever till the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you, and he needs money.
That's awesome.
So I found a Sarah Silverman quote, that two of them that I like a lot. The first one being, when God gives you AIDS, and God does give you AIDS, make lemonades. But in more like seriousness, what is the Vatican worth? Like $500 billion?
Yeah.
That's great. Sell the Vatican, take a big chunk of that money, build a gorgeous condominium for you and all your friends to live in. All the amenities, swimming pool, tennis courts, water slide, and with the money left over, you can, I don't know, feed the whole fucking world.
Yeah. Sarah Silverman, you know how people like to joke, well, some people joke or others don't joke about having a list of 3 or 5 people that they could sleep with outside of their relationship, Sarah Silverman is my list.
She's the whole list.
I mean, there are other candidates, but I don't need anybody else.
I find obviously this is not a surprise. I find women with a filthy mouth incredibly attractive.
Yes. Yeah. And, yep. So Amy Schumer's up there too, because absolutely. Even though she's not, you know, my usual type.
Yeah, Amy Schumer is who I would.
Oh yeah.
Amy Schumer. Yeah. So really quick, Amy Schumer has one of my favorite jokes ever about being a woman of like, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And it's, she's like, oh, so my friend's pregnant. She got us all together and like we had brunch and she's like, you guys, I'm pregnant. And we're like, okay. And she's like, no, you don't get it. I'm keeping this one. And we were like, what? You can keep them? Like, what? Just that? Just
she says, I mean, it so casually, yeah, too. Yeah.
I thought she had a related bit that was something along the lines of like, you know, my friend said, oh, I'm pregnant. And I wasn't sure whether to say, do you, yeah, need a ride?
Yeah. Do you need, you know, a ride? Yeah. My instinct is to say, do you need a ride? Yeah, yeah. Congratulations.
Not congratulations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so, wow, we talked about a lot, lots of things for you,
it's
our
been
listeners.
Short episodes. You get a long one now.
Yeah, yeah. So, for if you have any thoughts about Eric's five questions, feel free to write some answers in our comment section. If you have any thoughts about the idea of NALT, or not all men, or not all atheists,
or all lives matter,
or all lives matter. You know, what do you think about that? Let's get into a big fucking argument in our, yeah, comments section. Let's do it, guys.
Seriously, like, if you have something, if you have good points to make about why NALT is different than not all men, or why they're the same, I'd be really interested to hear. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, yeah, there's good points to make that none of us thought of, because, yeah, we're not bright.
And you'll probably post the Dan Savage video in the...
I will definitely post Dan Savage video in the show notes.
Cool.
And I also want to remind you, if you can rate us on iTunes, that would be awesome. We are running low on answers to our five questions. So now is a great time. Now is a great time. Send them into 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Always like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We are done. Thanks for joining us again, Eric. And we will catch you next week.
Holy shit. We spent like 5 minutes talking about vegetables. What the fuck is wrong with us?
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Fuck you, troll.